The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, as we always say, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about how to access your subconscious mind to create change. Our special guest is a return guest, the founder of Cogno Movement, Bill McKenna. It's going to be an interesting conversation. We have Bill on frequently because he is one of my teachers. He has gone through his own kind of spiritual evolution, if you will, and he's on a journey, and he's helping people with Cogno Movement, which is it's a methodology that he developed. He works with his partner, Liz Larson, and they help people rewire their minds to get their subconscious in particular to get results, to put them on the right track and make great things happen and really peel away obstacles and things that get in the way of our being who we really are. So today we're going to talk about what Bill refers to as Cogno consciousness, which is a form of consciousness related to the subconscious. We're going to talk about making massive jumps on consciousness by accessing the subconscious directly. And so this should help a lot of folks because Bill's going to talk to us about how we can get in there and kind of do our self-help work on our own to really make changes. And that's what it's all about. You know, people, we have more power than we've been told we have, and the power lies within. And it's important to get in there and tap it and be the very best you can be. But it takes some work. We often look at what's going on around us and we react. We react to things all the time and we become these little reactors, if you will, in that instead of following our path, we just have to keep dealing with things that come up, which of course we do in our day-to-day lives, but we need to take the time and invest in ourselves. You know, I've talked about the importance of daily routines, whether it's meditation or working out, whatever. And it's really about taking back your power, spending the time, investing the time in yourself to be the best you can be and enjoy your life. We're not here to be miserable and just have to keep doing stuff that other people tell us we have to do. Of course, we have to pay our rent, we have to pay our bills, and etc. But we have to find the time to get our mindset right. And that is the most important thing because we are here. We are the ones that are here. We are spirits inhabiting bodies. And we need to respect ourselves. We need to take back our power. And we need to take the time every day to focus on ourselves, to look within and do some work. It might be you want to do physical activities, which to me is a form of meditation, running, swimming, working out, etc. You might want to do meditation. I do TM, Transcendental Meditation, twice a day. But whatever it is, we need to work on ourselves. And Bill's going to help us with how we can work on ourselves and how we can speed up the process by getting right into our subconscious to help rewire things and make the changes so we can overcome obstacles and live our best lives. So great show today with a return guest, founder of Cogno Movement, my buddy and teacher, Bill McKenna.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show. We have one of our favorite guests returning. It is Bill McKenna, the developer and founder of Cogno Movement. He works with his partner Liz Larson on it, and Bill has been on the show many times. He's a friend, and I've also worked with him, and he's helped me overcome some obstacles, break through to create success, and also helped me rewire my brain using the Cogno Movement System. Today, we're going to talk about something called Cogno Consciousness. It's an offshoot of Cogno Movement, and we're going to get into some nervous system issues. We're going to get into what ascension really means, and we're getting into how the subconscious can be accessed directly, quickly. Welcome back to Guys Guys Radio, Bill McKenna.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here again with you. On behalf of myself and Liz Larson, it is such an honor to be able to get this information out to your audience. What we're talking about today is cognoconscious and how it relates to your subconscious and nervous system. A lot of words there that, like, I'm sure any of the listeners are kind of like, what are they talking about? What does it mean?
Well, let's start with a quick level set for those who are not aware with of you and Cogno Movement. Just a quick, your definition of what Cogno Movement is and what the benefits are.
So, Cogno Movement is a modality that I developed along with Liz Larson, and we had figured out ways to access your subconscious through your nervous system. It turns out your nervous system is your subconscious. We have certain feelings, whatever they be, anger, joy, resentment, blame, fear, anxiety, all these different feelings that we have, they are sensations in our body. And these sensations, if you just reflect, like the times that maybe, you know, all of us have had anxiety, all of us. And that anxiety was actually felt as kind of a buzzing in your body. Everybody's a little different, you know. Maybe some people feel it in their belly, you know, like as butterfly, negative butterflies, or you feel it. For me, anxiety feels kind of like almost buzzing through my whole body in tension. That's actually your nervous system, and nobody ever chooses it. It's an automatic reaction, the subconscious. And that subconscious is super interesting because it is what creates the boundaries or the fence line in our lives. I love the way that Liz put it, was like an electric fence, you know, where you'll go, who you'll talk to, who you won't talk to. You, all of us have this. You know, we kind of come up to the border of, am I going to ask for that raise? Oh, I don't know. Am I going to ask my employee to do this, you know, to do their job? And you kind of feel the electric fence of, oh, God, if I ask, then they're going to go nuts and they might quit or something. Whatever it might be, our nervous system creates the boundaries. We all know people, you know, we've met up with in our lives where, like, our fence line, our electric fence is not their electric fence. They're like, what do you mean, man? You know, just do it. You know, who cares? You know, they don't have that. They've got it somewhere else, but they don't have the one that we have. So it's personal, and it is the actual nervous system that creates this.
How does the nervous system do that? How did you come across this, come upon this kind of insight?
So, this information, right? You know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. You know, this is way, way, way before us. You know, it's been written about in all kinds of books. There's people who understood that your nervous system is actually creating your feelings. And all of these different kind of scientists and different people that we know of out there had influenced the work. You know, Dr. Norman Deutsch heavily influenced our work through Liz's research. And what we recognized is that there's an accessibility to the nervous system, and it doesn't have to be by talking. Our nervous system, the definition of your nervous system is a carrier of electrical charges. That's what it physically does. It actually carries an electrical charge back and forth. And your brain, if you look at it, if you elongated your brain, it would go out to your retina. Your actual brain matter is in your retina. Unbelievable. I thought it was just eyeballs. And on the other side, if you elongate your brain down your spinal cord, that's your nervous system, from your eyes through your brain and down into your spinal cord.
So let me ask you this, Bill. So why do some people then have certain reactions to other people from an electrical standpoint? What is the impulse for that? No pun intended, of course, in terms of why somebody reacts one way to one person and not even a two-way street on that. Some one person is open, the other person is closed. Where do these electrical symbols and systems get activated? And how?
It's so interesting. This is really interesting, is that we are one integrated system. There's chemicals, hormones, there's the electrical system, there's energy. We are actually a big battery. That's what our body, this is one of the things about being human, is that it's just a fully integrated system. You know, in allopathic medicine, they tried to divide down, you know, oh, it's, you know, the your eyes couldn't possibly be related to your toes. They are. It's one system, and one can affect the other. So very specifically, let's say that, you know, I'll use myself as an example. Back in the day, in an Irish Catholic family, and we celebrate Christmas. And in Christmas, you know, it was a huge family, and we get lots of gifts. Well, I'm there, and I'm maybe 4 years old, and I'm so excited about Christmas. I love Christmas, and you know. It's 2 a.m. and there I get up at 2 a.m. and I go into the living room. Oh my God, there's all kinds of presents. Santa came. Oh, and you know, I start not only, you know, getting all the toys and bing, 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 bing. I'm like, oh, to the other kids, Santa's here. Mm-hmm. And you know, my dad comes down, you know, bad bastard Billy, you know, I'm going to take some heat on that, you know? So I took a lot of heat on that, yeah, for doing that. And seriously, they were up. They probably literally just got in bed from packing all the presents up. Many years later, my nervous system had associated the smell of Christmas trees with, you know, bad bastard Billy. Bad bastard mm-hmm. Billy, bad things happened to bad bastard Billy at Christmas time. Not good. Well, anyway, I got infections here as an adult all my life during Christmas time. My respiratory system, I get nasal infections. And what I did during a cognitive movement session is I actually, one of the things about cognitive movement is, you said earlier, it provides a window into your subconscious. You actually get to access. What was the original thing? Well, the original thing was me at 4 years old, you know, taking the heat. And once my nervous system said, oh gosh, I'm not 4 years old anymore. Christmas trees are, you know, it's just a Christmas tree, and no more nasal infections. Gone.
Okay. Got it. Okay, so let's, as a hypnotist, we use something called parts therapy, and we regress somebody. For instance, somebody's afraid of the water. And this is Robert Manny, host of Guys, Guys Radio. My special guest, return guest, and a good friend and one of my teachers is Bill McKenna, founder of Cogno Movement. As a hypnotist, we would take somebody who, let's say they were afraid of the water, and we find out, well, you weren't born afraid of the water. What happened? And we might find that, well, when the kid was 3 years old, mommy was drinking a martini, flirting with the lifeguard, and they fell in the water and they were scrambling around a little bit, and they've always had that fear. And we go back and we regress them back to that point, and we kind of have them redo it. And theoretically, and usually what happens, it goes away. We rewired them. Is there a similarity between Cogno Movement and hypnosis? And what is the, if so, yes, but, and if so, also, what is the difference in how you work?
Oh my gosh, this is another like really great question. So ultimately, your nervous system let go. When you hypnotize somebody and that neurological connection in the brain, in the body, let go. So what we have in common with hypnosis is that your body literally is like, oh, don't need it anymore, not useful. And a new neurological connection is born, or an unresourceful neurological connection is disconnected. Like the, oh my gosh, you know, mom and everything disconnected. Not an issue anymore. The methodology with Cogno Movement is to incorporate the entire nervous system to make the change. We don't even have to understand squat. Literally, when you move your eyes in certain directions, when you move your body in certain ways, while you feel how you feel, let's say, you know, I feel my shame, my guilt, my resentment, my blame. What'll happen is you'll actually physically feel that tension in your eyes or spasm in your body or a variety of just strange sensations. And basically resolves. I didn't have to come to some realization about it. It literally, my nervous system can't hold on to it anymore. And it, poof, it goes.
Okay. Let's talk about the eyes a little bit, because that's a big difference between traditional hypnosis and Cogno Movement. And I know when we work together, Bill uses very frequently uses a soccer ball. And the use of the eyes is important, where he'll to have you look at certain colors. I want you to explain that a little bit while you're doing the process. And also a lot of like looking around in a circular motion with your eyes. And when you find an area that you don't want to look at, that's an area where there is a blockage. So talk to us about that connection between the eyes and how you kind of do your rewiring that way.
So what happens is, the eyes are the only visible part of the brain. Dr. Andrew Huberman of Stanford is a neurological ophthalmologist, I believe, is an incredible brain researcher, really amazing person to listen to. But what he says is the eyes are the only visible part of the brain, and eyes, brain, and spinal cord, which, and then by extension, the entire system is all one. So when we have any issue going on in our life, I hate my sister, I hate my brother, my dad did this, my mom did that, I hate my boss, you know, or you name it, fill in the blank, your eyes and your spinal cord, and in many, many different ways, we can tell it's right here. Everywhere we look isn't exactly a different part of your brain. So if there's a resistance to something, right? If you think about that biggest problem in your life, that person that if they were just dead, everything would be better. And maybe for you, that's the president or the president to be, or
Well, let's not say that. Figuratively.
Figuratively.
Okay? We love them both.
Or yeah, we love them both. Or it's a different country, a different race, a different.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what it is, but I don't feel good about it, whatever that is, you know. Or maybe it's me. Maybe me. I don't feel good about. If I move my eyes around, there's going to be a place that you're going to feel like, oh, it's not very pleasant there. I cannot see. I literally, it's a blind spot. I love the term blind spot because what we know now is that these issues are really in the brain. And what happens is, when the brain issue is resolved, meaning my hatred for my feeling about myself, whatever, all of a sudden the vision comes and it clears up. There's a blind spot. I like to say that wherever the problem is, also the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one of the things that's really neat in cognitive movement is that the discovery that this area that you don't want to look, let's say you have kind of what I would call a glitch over to your upper left. And it's just if you moved your eyes to the upper left, you'd be like, not comfortable. Because the solution in our life, neurologically, that information or that connection in our brain has not been made yet or needs to be disconnected because it's unresourceful, and it's right there in that position, because it's uncomfortable, we'll never look there. If I'm talking to you and I look over to the upper left and I'm there looking to the upper left, it's like a hot plate. You would spend less than a second in the upper left. You'll never access the information or the neurological circuit that's going to resolve this issue because your eyeballs are not willing to go over there voluntarily. And hopefully that is understandable for everybody.
Oh, very good. So for the individuals, everybody, our audience listening and watching the show, what are some, I know you can work with Bill or Liz or many, there's many practitioners, you can take training and learn cognitive movement. But for those folks who want to just test something out on their own, what can they do? You, one of the topics we talked about was accessing the subconscious directly. I guess that means instantly also. What are some exercises that people can do to kind of get a feel for how this works and maybe they can make some self-improvement happen?
Oh my gosh. Well, if somebody is listening to this right now and they just want to experiment, you can think about a big problem and rotate your eyes across the ceiling. Keep your head straight and level. Rotate your eyes.
Hold on 1 second. I want to make sure that for our folks out there, anybody, don't do this if you're driving. Don't do this if you're working heavy machinery, anything dangerous. If you're home sitting there quietly, go ahead. Sorry, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't think about, everybody driving or ships out at sea. Obviously you need to be in a safe place, on the couch or in a chair. So thinking about whatever it might be, whatever you might be feeling, that is not so much. Or if it's even something that you want, I want to win the lottery. I so want to win it. I'm 100% in. If you rotate your eyes across the ceiling, down the wall, across the floor, and up the inside, you have to keep your head straight and level when you do it. If you move at the pace of a snail, you're going to find an area that's uncomfortable. And, I mentioned, oh my gosh, I want to win the lottery. Well, why would there be an uncomfortable space, there? Oh, if it's something that would be so good for me, right? The lottery. Well, there might be an objection that your subconscious, your nervous system has to it. If I win the lottery, then Uncle Freddy's going to come over and want it all, or I'm going to get sued, or whatever be the case. So this is a start. But if you've already, if what we're talking about is really of interest, there's an event coming up in September that is called CognoConscious. And CognoConscious is 5 solid days. And in these 5 solid days, what we do is we clear out the shame of your lifetime, the blame of your lifetime, the guilt of your lifetime, the resentment, the fear and anxiety, the all of the anger. What we do is we walk up this scale of emotions to the forgiveness, to the trusting, to the love, and to the bliss. And when, you know, I love the quote from Rumi, you know, from the 12th century, seek not to love, but to remove the blocks to it. And that's what we do. Our lives, if you imagine you were doing physical exercises, and that's what this is, they're very light physical exercises, and you cleared out the guilt of your lifetime, the fear of your lifetime, what would that do for you? What would that do? How would your life be different?
So it sounds like similar to some other practices, and this is not diminishing cognitive movement by any means, because there's a lot of ways to get to the same place, and that is really reclaiming who we are. Because these blockages, these things have gotten in the way, it's not us. They're things that are getting in the way of us knowing who we are, what we are.
Yes, exactly. And this fence line of knowing who we really are, this electrical fence, the thing is right now that it seems like there's no other possibility. I don't know what the cartoon character was. I am who I am. I think it was maybe Popeye. Was that Popeye? Yeah, Popeye. Mm-hmm. I am who I am. You know, we're showing our age here. But we all feel that. I am who I am. Well, there's a possibility without that I am, you know, that there could be a different I am who I am. Mm-hmm. And the absence of our guilt, shame, humiliation, blame, anger, fear, all of these things, they happen naturally, and we don't even have to try. We're doing exercises, we're feeling our anger, and we're literally doing these exercises which expose it and release it. And once this is done, what happens is an extraordinary transformation happens. And that extraordinary transformation looks like, I can trust now. I can trust life. I actually can forgive that person. The easiest person in the world to forgive is the one I feel nothing about. Imagine that person who's done the unforgivable to you. You've worked on it. You've probably been to church and this has told you, hey, you know, you really got to forgive. You know, I was told that till I was blue in the face. I went to Catholic school from, you know, all the way through. I didn't miss a mass until I think I was 22 years old. And every week, you know, Jesus said, you got to forgive. And I'm like, yeah, well, that was Jesus, and he could forgive because his name's Jesus, and he's good, and I just can't. It's not in my makeup, you know? And that actually changed, you know?
What changed for you? So you had, you had a successful career in the tech business, and you had a spiritual kind of awakening. And now here you are, probably a decade later, leading cognitive movement with Liz. So what happened, and how do you feel now versus how you feel then? And is it directly related to your quote-unquote awakening?
Good question. Well, I'll answer the simple question first is 100%. I feel different than I did prior to the awakening. And I will say that how I feel now is that I see things differently. When I, prior to the awakening, I saw it in my best interest to hold other people accountable. You know, if I was to have a sign on my desk, it would say the buck stops here. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I felt. And I certainly did it, you know, and I was, very much holding that line. I felt like if I could hold my resentment, you know, that somehow the other person's accountable, they're not going to get over on me again, they're going to change, they're going to realize, or I'm just not going to, you know, back up, you know. And the way I feel now is that was a horrible feeling, and I was trapped. I was a prisoner in my life, a prison that I created, and I couldn't get out of it. And what I feel now is like, of course I forgive you. Right. I mean,
so go ahead.
Oh, it's in my interest. I guess what I'm saying is it's good for me to let all of those negative feelings go and to actually love the other person because it's good for me. My life goes better. And I didn't understand these different levels of consciousness and the juju bee that goes along with it. I understood that anger and resentment was good for me because it backs everybody up. And now I understand that love and forgiveness is good for me because all of my life, my body and my relationships and everything go better. It's more profitable. But that's in a nutshell. Obviously these are layers of the onions, and Cogno movement has really facilitated being able to maintain and continue evolving.
Mm-hmm. So for the average person, I think many people kind of have felt the same way that you have. And what happened when, if you don't have to get into too many personal details, but what physically has occurred that allowed you to kind of shift? And I mean, did you have your Kundalini energy move up your spine? Did your crown open for downloads on a regular basis? Did your third eye open up? Did what have you felt physically? What happened to you that helped usher in these changes? Because you made a shift from one, you know, who you were to who you are now. It's the same person, but it's a different angle, if you will, in terms of how you're experiencing life.
Well, that's a, you know, I don't think anybody's ever asked me that question before. It's from a physical standpoint, I didn't know any of these terms that you just talked about. My world was, you know, yachts,
sales, right? Tech, sales, go sales, get, right?
Go get, you know, I had very few subjects. They were mm-hmm. mostly around, getting physical pleasure of some kind, or money or something like that. But I had a very abrupt physical thing that happened, which was the top of my head. Later on, I got to understand that it was your crown chakra. And when I began the process of forgiving, this opened up inadvertently. I wasn't prepared for it, didn't know anything about it. And, you know, when that happened, you know, there's a saying, when the student's ready, master appears. And I had a lot of them appear. Amazingly enough, real life, holy cow, I didn't know that was possible type of people. So they helped me, and I studied a lot of different things. And then eventually what happened is that another thing, which was this commonly known in the West is and East is Kundalini, that began its process, which it's kind of a very physical thing. You physically can feel it at the base of your spine, and then you can physically feel these sensations as it moves up and through your body. It's an evolutionary force. We all have it. In most of us, it's literally just asleep. And then what happens is, through many different methods, it could happen from an awakening. It could happen from an accident. People have had it where they're reading a book and they read one line in the book and boom, the thing kicks off. And it's amazing, because not only is it neurological and physical and chemical, but there's this psycho-spiritual aspect to it as well. It's one of these things that if you look in, it's right in front of us. The pyramids and that sort of thing, you'll see all kinds of symbols of the, you know, that caduceus, the two snakes intertwining, and the bird and the parrot coming out of the head with a snake and that sort of thing. There's a lot of other symbolism around the world. It's been known about. It's basically an evolutionary force, and it's just natural.
Wow. So Bill McKenna, my special guest on Guys Radio, Bill, founder of Cogno Movement System. You mentioned in our notes something about the nervous system. I found this fascinating, and maybe you can elaborate on it, how the nervous system is a time traveler, past, future, and cognitive consciousness helps bring it into the present, bring somebody into the present. What does that mean? How does that work?
Ah, gosh, you know what? This is super interesting. So your nervous system, and everybody, you know, you can relate to this in your daily life. Our nervous system draws us into the past. It draws us into the future. In the past, you know, I'm going to use myself as an example. You know, I found myself drawn into the past for decades. Like, you know, I went to college at Marymount Palos Verdes College in Los Angeles. And I said, you know, there's only one bad thing about going to that college. This is you spend the next 40 years wishing you could go back.
That's fantastic.
But you're not here and now. Or, you know, the nervous system is working as a feeling. We get, I'll be happy when. You know when I'm going to be happy? When I get that house, that car, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, this fix, that fix. Things that are right around my house that are drawing my attention, you know, I'm going to be happy then, you know, or you know what I'll be happy in? I heard this all the time. You know what I'll happy? When they say I'm sorry, when they freaking change, when they give me my due, then I'm good. Well, others in the future, our nervous system's constantly pulling us. So the second part of that question you asked was around cognoconscious. Well, this cognoconscious is just eloquently designed, because if you think about it, there's a feeling, whatever it is, a desire, a fear, an anger, whatever that is, that's in this, what they call levels of consciousness or understandings that you've come to thus far and far in your life. Everybody knows, you know, the millennials, those poor people as in mass are in anxiety. That's something from the future or the past, this anxiety they feel. And they're it is drawing them out of the present moment. So imagine if my fear was simply not there. Could I be more present with you now? Could I be more present in my life? If my anger, my blame, all these different levels of consciousness, understandings, if they literally were absent, what happens is you get drawn into the now. And enlightenment, you know, Eckhart Tolle talks about the gateway to enlightenment is through the now. So if we find ourselves either in the past or future, knowing that that's not really available to me, the better life, a better life is available when you're more present. And in very practical terms, everybody has been on vacation somewhere and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so great. You were there in the moment. You were tasting that carne asada. You were sipping that tropical drink and you were there. You noticed things, you smelled it, you were in the moment. That moment is a little window in for us as an enticement. That's how it is, being here now. And our advancement can naturally emerge that way.
So when people are overcoming some of these things that are holding them back, is it more of a severing of these things, or is it more of a processing? You're talking about, you know, the time really it's not linear, that everything's all about, it's all happening at once, everything's now. So do we cut away these things that have been put in our path, or do we process through them, or a little bit of both?
I'm going to go with both, because that's what I see. What I see is for some people, literally the unresourceful neurological circuit is pruned, simply pruned, and they can't feel it, literally pruned. And for other people, there's a realization that comes about, you know, like myself in the Christmas tree. Ah, Christmas tree. You know, I'm not Bad Bastard Billy anymore, you know, and I'm not 4 years old anymore.
Fantastic. Bill McKenna, my friend, my teacher, and the founder of Cogno Movement, working with Liz Larson. Thank you so much for being back on the show. Let's do it again soon. It's great to see you, and thank you.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, another fruitful, insightful, terrific conversation with my friend and teacher, Bill McKenna, about how to access the subconscious directly, make some changes, and a lot more that we talked about today. And I think the main takeaway is, once again, as I said at the opening of the show, that we have the power, but to have that power, to really use our personal power, we have to take the time to respect ourselves by investing in ourselves each and every day. Taking that time, what I like to do is, first thing in the morning, I start with gratitude. Last thing I do before I go to sleep at night, have my head on my pillow and I say thank you, and I think about all the good things that happened throughout the day, and then plan on all the good things that are going to happen the next day. Yeah, you could say, oh, what are you just talking to yourself? It is a form of self-hypnosis in a way, but when you start to see positive thinking, positive thoughts, you know, the universe listens to you. When you say no, and I don't want, and this and that, you get more of what the words you put out there to the universe. They don't know the difference between what no means and what yes means. It's what we're thinking about that's important. So think about success. Think about positivity. Think about all the things that you have, and think about the things that you want in terms of imagining and feeling that you have them. And that's really the key to manifestation. You have to have the right mindset. You have to have the right heart space. You have to be in a position to open your heart to receive And then you have to receive and process it and tap into whatever, spirit, God, whatever, the universe, to allow it to flow through you and attract to you more and more of the things that you want. So it's all about working on that subconscious mind, which controls like 95% of all of our activities. We don't think about thinking, we don't think about breathing, we don't think about it when we're walking, we're just doing it. Our subconscious is trained to do so many things for us. We spend so much of our time just reacting to things. So take back your power, take the time to invest in yourself. Guys Radio, I'll see you next week. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.